Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
All right, welcome everybody. Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I, of course, am Laura.
And I'm Marty.
And we got our lines right. Dang, that's good. It's a good day. We are having kind of a follow-up conversation. We talked about the problem with obesity in our pets. And one of the things that I think is really striking is how powerful the human-animal bond is and how we can help our pets be healthier, but they help us be healthier.
Oh, for sure. My dad wanted a prescription written for a dog and a boat because he figured both of those were going to make him healthier, lower blood pressure, better activity levels. You know, I think that's great. And I actually wrote a prescription this week for two little Cavaliers to take swimming classes to improve their fitness. So I think there's a lot to this that
As it turns out, there's actually research to back us up, Marty. So
there
check this out. There is an organization called the Human-Animal Bond Research Institute, and they have a new study. Millions of people view pets as family and count on their unconditional love. And while it's hard to put a value on the human-animal bond and what it means for so many of us, Havry commissioned a new economic impact report, which gives us a partial answer. Pet ownership saves the U.S. healthcare system $22.7 billion every year. Can you believe this?
That's cool. There will be a link to this
in the notes for everybody. But I wanted us to talk about this because, you know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. There are politicians are hollering about healthcare and there's all kinds of this and that and the other thing. But this is enormous. And the value that pets bring to our lives, whether it is we go out and exercise with them because we need them to lose weight.
Because they poke us.
Right. Whether it is the companionship. Whether it is the social activity where we actually go into public with our pet, where we might otherwise be cave-dwelling hermits like myself. So talk to us, Marty. What do you see from your perspective?
Well, I have raised six dogs, and my son has raised one for Canine Companions for Independence, CCI. Those are the service dogs that help people with mobility, hearing, everything except seeing eye. And my kids were in junior high when we got our first one, and I had permission, because the state of Wisconsin allows dogs in training the same access as dogs in service, I had permission to take a dog into doctor's appointments, Target. I took the dog to law school my last 2 years of law school. I had permission to take dogs into places that ordinarily you don't. But actually, I've been at the store, the grocery store, I've been at the lumber yard, I've been at a lot of places where dogs are actually kind of showing up. And I will tell you that it is enormous how much of a difference that makes in your interactions with other people. If I had to run into Target for one thing, the dog had to stay in the car with the kids. If I went into Target for one thing with a dog, it would take me 45 minutes to an hour to get back out the door because everyone would stop us and want to talk to us and ask about the program. And I actually had one dog that was placed in a family with a young man who had a disability because they met us at Target. Mm. So it's truly incredible what these dogs do for you socially. They are a social lubricant. And I love that word because it helps you to understand, or that term, because it helps you to understand that these dogs open pathways to conversation that ordinarily you would just walk past the other person. You would kind of ignore them. You'd look the other way. You wouldn't really interact with them. But now you have a dog and they come up to you and they say, oh, what kind of dog is this? And all of ours were lab golden crosses. And I would say, oh, it's a Labrador crossed with a golden retriever. Oh, yeah, I can see that. No, you can't. First generation looks like a lab. Don't tell me that. I've been in veterinary medicine for 30 years. I know what this is supposed to look like. This is not what a golden retriever looks like. But nevertheless, it opened a pathway to conversations. And they tell you about their dog, and they tell you about their family, and they tell you about all these things that you would never have had the opportunity to discuss if it hadn't been for the dog. I see people in the store with dogs I'm pretty sure they're not supposed to have in there. The little dog's in their bag, or the little dog in the shopping cart. I'm like, not really sure the grocery store wants you with this in here, but I'm not going to be the person that reports you. It's not my problem. Lumber yards are a little
bit
more lenient.
Don't take it to the deli is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, at one point, my first dog, picked up a bunch of bananas. It was sitting in a basket on the floor because they were overripe. The dog picked up this bundle of bananas, and I'm like, well, we'll be buying those because your little mouth has just touched those, into the grocery cart. He would shoplift. Oh, he shoplifted a pig ear. You know, he was a shoplifter. It was kind of embarrassing, but, you know, he tried to shoplift. I would pay for the things. It was too embarrassing not to. But it is interesting. He would go under the rack where the clothes were. I mean, you know, it was interesting. We would take the dog to church. We would have people that would, at the end of the church service, turn around and say, has the dog been in here this whole time? No, I just sneaked him in the last 5 minutes. Yes, he's been here the whole time, and you almost put the kneeler down on his tail, so thanks for that. They would look at me and say, can you train my kids to be this good in church? No, I cannot. I have my own challenges with my own children. I'm not training yours.
Yep.
So dogs are
better
truly
than children. Sorry.
Well, yeah, but you can give them a chew toy and the kids are usually squealing and the dog is quiet,
is
just
point.
Not knowing. Yeah, just don't take a
squeaky
toy.
You'll notice which one of us has children and which one of us does not. That's all I'm going to say.
Exactly. But it is truly amazing what these dogs can do for us. So, yes, they get you out of bed in the morning because you have to get them out mm-hmm. to go potty.
Yep.
They get you out on a walk. Even if the weather isn't nice, you're still out there. You got to just bundle up
and
go.
How many men do you know that consider their new puppy a chick magnet? I'm just saying.
Oh, the vet students, when we were in vet school, we were the second class to graduate from Iowa State from the building that we were in. Iowa State is the oldest veterinary school in the country.
Right.
But we were the second class to graduate from the new building, which was off campus. And the guys in our class would pick up their surgery lab dogs and they would take them to campus and hang out on Central Campus because that was far away from the vet school so that the chicks would be attracted to them. Because these were guys, I mean, at that time, the class was 25% women, 75% men. Of course, that's not the case anymore. But they would use the puppies or the dogs.
Isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. So they would use them as a chick magnet because that was the only way that they would ever see women because we were off campus with all these men and a couple of women, and some of the women weren't, they didn't
that
dress well.
That wasn't what they were looking for, man.
No,
just not
no,
what they were
no.
looking for.
No, they needed more help.
Yeah. Okay. So social life is a big part of it. Exercise,
absolutely.
Big part of it. Mental stimulation.
Yes,
mental stimulation because you have to. Like you said, I am someone who deals with autoimmune disease. There are days that if I did not have a puppy lying next to my head, I would not get out of bed. I just wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that puppy wakes up at 5 a.m. I crawl out of bed no matter how crunchy I am. And I
get
put
up.
That puppy outside. Right?
Yep.
And so this is a thing for across the board for people with large and small health issues. Right? That it keeps them moving.
Sometimes it's the only thing you want to talk to. Sometimes you don't want to talk to anybody.
It's almost always the only thing
else.
I want to talk to, Mark.
You don't want to talk to anybody on the phone. You don't want to talk to anybody at the store. You just want to talk to your dog. And, you know, dogs can learn hundreds of words. Hundreds of words. So
or
we're not giving our dogs
at
enough
any
credit.
Rate.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there is that. But we need to give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. But there are days that's the only thing I want to talk to. Like I just go home from work and I'm done. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to another human. I don't want to talk to my husband. I just want to go home. And my dog is like, hey, okay, you're right. Let's have a conversation. And I actually was telling this story this morning. I had a staff member at one point who, when she went to euthanize her cat, it was pretty difficult for her, as it always is. She said to the staff member, she said, this cat helped me get through a lot of things. And she said, oh, you mean like not getting invited to prom? She looks at her and she says, no, I mean, because my husband beat me. I'm like, okay, well, that brings a whole nother perspective to the conversation is this cat was the true constant in her life during a time that she was struggling with the relationship she was in. And a lot of women in particular, not just women. I have to be careful that I don't just include women in this because other people can be abusive.
Domestic violence.
But Yeah, in any violent situation, sometimes the person won't leave the house because they can't take the pet with them. There's not a shelter for them to go to, and they will not leave the pet. So we have to understand that emotional connection is so strong.
In fact, Purina, the American Kennel Club, a couple different organizations have created the Purple mm-hmm. Leash Project. And right. I think AKC's the Red Hat. I can't remember. Anyway, there mm-hmm. are organizations mm-hmm. who have, because this is such a well-known and well-documented problem, that people mm-hmm. who are suffering in situations of domestic violence will not leave the violent partner if there are pets involved. And
correct.
There have been created funds and specific shelters that will accept pets in a domestic mm-hmm. violence situation.
Right. When I was in law school, one of my law professors had started one in Madison, Wisconsin. Like you said, the Purple Leash Program. Jackie Fogel in Wisconsin used to run one that at her boarding kennel that we would take in dogs and cats for people that, or other pets, if it was a reptile or whatever, so people could get out of that situation, but have a place that their pet could go and the pet could be retrieved to them. Because if you just take them to a shelter, the pet may be placed, may be euthanized, something might happen. So we need to have those safety nets for people. And we know there's strong evidence, there's lots of information that people who are in abusive relationships, often the pets are also being abused. And for instance, the kids won't report abuse to themselves, but they will report abuse of their pet mm-hmm. to a teacher, you know, to a minister, to somebody that they can respect and will help them. So absolutely, positively, these pets are absolutely critical to our mental health, and we need to provide a safety net for those pets.
Right.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
You know, when we talk about we are making our pets live longer, we're giving them healthier lives, right? That's a goal here. But they're giving us healthier lives and helping us live longer.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that synchronicity is a big chunk of what's involved. Mm-hmm. When you go to the website for Habry, actually, they talk about it in terms of pet owners.
Habry, Human Animal Bond, right. Human Animal Bond Research Institute. Mm-hmm. Just to be clear, if you didn't catch the beginning.
Yep. And I will make sure that there's a link because there's a lot of amazing information at this website. Mm-hmm. And I'll also include a conversation I had with the fellow that runs it on Pure Dog Talk. But amongst the information on this website, pet owners are estimated to visit the doctor less than non-pet owners on an annual basis, producing a cost savings of $15 billion. Dog owners who regularly walk their dogs have lower levels of obesity, $4.5 billion reduction in healthcare spending. Pet ownership correlates to a 14% reduction of C. diff reinfection. So the horrible disease that people get when they're hospitalized, saving another $90 million. Children in households with a dog have, this is incredible, a 9% lower probability of having a clinical diagnosis of anxiety. Hello.
Right. And those kids will confide in their dog. They may be in junior high. They may not have good friends at the school. They come home and they can hug the stuffing out of the dog and they can explain to the dog what a terrible day they had. And the dog just very patiently listens. We know there's reading programs for children that learn
reading
to read because
Rover.
The pets.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. There's a lot of great programs with that. So the kids can learn to read.
And
the parents are like,
yeah,
I'm busy.
Dyslexic children or, you know, whatever their reading disability is. That will read to a dog, autistic children, a lot of them, will read out loud to the dog when they will not interact with a human, even a parent. I mean, I was that kid. I was absolutely that kid. My best friend in third grade was the elementary school librarian, literally.
That's a weird kid. Yeah,
you're a weird kid.
I
was. Mm-hmm. I was 100% the kid that had memorized the Dewey Decimal System in third grade. And so as much as I had, you know, my pal, my little dog, Morris, it was my sort of way that I took it is that I could train him to do things. I trained him to do tricks and do this and do that. And that ability turned into my life's work and brought me to here today, because I found a thing that I could do that nobody else in my family could do. And I was better at it. It was the only thing. I was in a relatively accomplished family, and it was the only thing I could do that better than anybody else in my family. And it gave me the confidence to not be that weird little kid whose best friend was the librarian and spent her time with the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah. When I was in law school, I had a dog with me for the last 2 years because I was raising one for CCI, Canine Companions. Mm-hmm. And the students during around final times, I was an adult student. I was in my 50s at the time. The adult students that were in my class and the kids that in their 20s, 21, they would come over and they would hang out with the dog because it would bring down their anxiety level before they took an exam. So it is absolutely amazing what these pets can do for us if we give them the opportunity to develop into the dog or the cat or the rabbit or the snake or whatever, what they can do for us if we give them that opportunity. And like I said, dogs can learn hundreds of words, not just sit, stay, go potty. Right. They can learn hundreds of words. And if we give them the chance to really grow into who they can be, they are truly amazing family members.
Mm-hmm. I, in fact, taught my little Beagle Dachshund Cocker Spaniel Lhasa Apso poodle mix. I taught him to wear baby bunting and lie on his back in a doll carriage. And I pushed him around. This was his one of his tricks. And he would lie there with his little feet on the blanket, just like this, and a rattle next to him and a little bonnet and a little blue, literally baby bunting in a literally doll carriage. And I pushed him through whatever nursing home. And, you know, when you are a weird little child, you do weird little things with your dog, but at least it gives you something that you can do that makes you cool.
And I'm just going to throw this out there, is that nursing homes are really isolated from the rest of the world. There aren't young people there. There aren't dogs and cats there. So I used to take my kids, my dogs, my one dog, my two kids and my three cats to the nursing home. I would load everybody up. I'd put cats in harnesses. I'd put them into carriers. I'd put the dog on a leash. I'd go to the nursing home and the babies and the dogs and the cats would interact with the people who were at this nursing home who really didn't have much other things to do other than watch Wheel of Fortune at 6 o'clock and fall asleep in the chair after dinner. But I'm going to throw this out there. If you have a dog training class and you're looking for a place to do your dog training, call your local nursing home and see if they have a community room that you can go into for your dog training classes. Because number one, your pets get to see different people with walkers and wheelchairs and all the things that they need socially. That's number two, they clean the floor up underneath the chairs. The people are done eating so that, you know, the staff doesn't have to sweep the breadcrumbs off the floor. And third, it gives you a really good place to train where these people otherwise have really got severe social isolation. And I will tell you that there was nothing more rewarding than watching people interact with those dogs and those cats and the kids, because they don't have anything else other than the people who are giving them care.
Marty, that's a really good segue into sort of a final piece on this, talking about, you know, there's lots of things that we do with our dogs and our pets. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we can do is any dog of any breed or ancestry can be registered through TDI, Therapy Dogs International.
Correct.
And you can have a purpose and create a purpose for you and your dog. I don't know if they do cats, but your dog for sure, to do this sort of thing, visitation in hospitals, right, visitation in nursing facilities, a lot of this.
Children are too.
Mm-hmm. Children's hospitals, yep. Because of all of the information that's at the HABRI, at the Human Animal Bond Research Institute, we know how much these dogs mean to people, not just us, just to humans.
Right.
And the amount of joy and peace and laughter and whatever that they bring to people is truly moving.
Right. I would hear stories about people and I used to have a dog like this, or I used to have a cat. You would hear all these stories. And if you took the time to listen, you would learn a lot about people. The other thing is, I wrote a number of years ago, so if anybody wants this document, I wrote a document about the things that you should do to take your pet to a place so that they're safe. And that includes having your dog current on Bordetella vaccines, because Bordetella is contagious to humans. Kennel cough can be contagious to immunocompromised people. If you're taking your dog into those places, bath them before you go. So they're clean, they're not spreading bacteria or viruses or parasites or any of those things. So look to an organization that, like TDI, you have to have current vaccinations. Your veterinarian has to examine the pet. They have to sign off on it.
There's things they have to do. There's tasks they have to be able to do. They have manners they have to be able to do. They need a canine good citizen test, you know, all that kind of thing. So it's a project for you and your dog to do together, right?
Yep.
So it gets both of you out of the house. It is something that your dog, I believe the dogs find it rewarding.
It they know.
Is, no, I don't know, not every dog, but the Spinoni particularly that I work with, I know have been used as therapy dogs, like specifically as therapy dogs after a major, major, major like federal incidents, like the shooting in Las Vegas, like the airplane crash that was at the Reno airfield, and they know what their job is. And so
they help kids in court when their kids are testifying in court. If children need some emotional support, they're truly amazing. But do the stuff your veterinarian and the TDI organization expects. Keep their vaccines up to date, because they can be contagious. Make sure they're clean. They smell good. When I took my dog to the dentist with my kids, they would always get a shower the morning that we went so that they were cleaned and smell bad. If they had people there with allergies, they would be minimally allergic to the dog because it was clean. So, you know, don't try to skate by on that stuff. If you are truly responsible in this relationship you're having with these organizations, do all the stuff. And like I said, I'm happy to send you the document that goes through all this stuff.
Yeah, we'll put that up. You actually just hit on another hot button. Sorry, we're doing kind of a wandering version of this. Emotional support dogs. It's a thing.
Yes.
Like everybody's got one. You know, I've got an emotional support dog so I can rent this apartment building. And yeah, they probably are your emotional support dog. God knows mine are. But there is abuse of that that I would like to put in a note of caution about. Yes, I understand that this is your emotional support dog. I get it. I used to threaten Kim with getting him a vest that said he was an emotional support person for Logan because he had such serious separation anxiety. Like, I get it. Okay. But you can take that too far and you can ruin it, a situation for people who actually really truly need to have public access dogs that are working for them, doing service work. And it's really important that people understand the difference in those items. So could you maybe throw on your attorney ball cap here for half a second?
Yeah. So don't ask your veterinary professional or anyone, a mental health professional, to sign paperwork when it's not truly a dog that's trained for that purpose. I've been at the airport. You've been at the airport where you see people flying with dogs that are clearly not trained, clearly not that purpose, clearly don't know what they're doing. So don't cheat the system, because all you're doing is it ruining for people that genuinely need these dogs, whether it's to pull their wheelchair or whether it's for hearing or whether it's for emotional support or whatever it happens to be, because there's so many things dogs can
do
for us.
Seizure alerts, diabetic alerts, migraine alerts. Dogs working are very specifically task trained. And a task-trained dog is very different than an emotional support dog.
Yes. So don't play that game. I was at a meeting many years ago. It was a dog training thing that Ian Dunbar had established. And there was a gentleman there with a seeing eye dog. And he left the room with the seeing eye dog to go out one door to use the restroom at a break during the meeting. And it was a meeting with several hundred people. And he came back into the room. And he came in a different door than he went out. And the dog couldn't help him find his chair again. And so I saw him going up and down the aisle trying to find his seat. And I got up and I said to him, okay, can I help you? He said, yeah, you know, this is the problem, is I'm not sure where my chair is. But I left my coat on the chair. And I said, okay, I'm going to ask you a really stupid question. What color is your coat? I mean, how do you say to a blind person, what color is your coat? Right. He knew what color his coat was because someone had told him when he picked it out. But, you know, just be really sensitive to what these people are needing and doing. And not all disabilities are visible. I've had clients ask me, oh, I didn't know you were blind, when I would take one of my dogs someplace. I'm like, yeah, I'm not blind. And I did your dog's surgery last week. Trust me, I didn't do it on feel. So no, all dogs are not seeing eye dogs. But remember, it may be an invisible disability, like a diabetic or a seizure alert dog. And those dogs are absolutely essential for the people that they're traveling with. So don't mess it up for them. Because if you do, you're limiting the ability of some of these people to travel, to visit other places, to live a normal life. So, you know, truly, these service dogs are life-changing.
Yes.
I have raised six of these dogs, and I don't cry at weddings. I don't cry at funerals. I cry at service dog organization graduations. When I watch my dog cross the stage with their new person, after 2 years of training this dog, living with me under my roof, I break into tears because I realize what that dog has just changed that person's life. For the next 11 years, that dog is going to change their life. You're tearing up just hearing the story.
I know. I have people who have had that experience, and it's
life-changing.
It is life-changing.
It's absolutely life-changing. So be sure that you are smart about how you use your dogs, and don't buy the vest on eBay or online, and don't ask somebody to sign your paperwork. It's just not right. Be fair with other people. It's so important.
Know the difference, and don't, you know, this is why we can't have nice things. Don't be the reason we can't have nice things.
How true is that?
That's true. All right. Well, thank you, Marty. As always, we really, really appreciate everything you bring to our conversation. So thanks for joining us tonight.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are. In the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.